Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, yeah, you know how we do it, only we're going to do it a little differently today. As the usual suspects do in the movie, there's no Kaiser Sose, but there is a usual suspects. And normally we do roll call, and everybody knows that I tell you who's present and accounted for. Well, we've got a whole new cast of characters today on the usual suspects. Jose Partida is behind the glass, filling in for Nick. Then Joe George is filling in for Nick, who's filling in for Barry. Joe, speak.
What's up, Barry? What's up, Joel?
What's up, Barry?
Yeah, I was going to call you Barry.
Okay, that hurts. You, Joe, there's the door right there. Get out, and I'll tell you.
Jose didn't even say hi.
Well, because Jose's doing things. Most importantly, we have the world champ in the building. The champ is here. My good friend, it's family day. Mario Elie in studio for a good period of time to join us, talk some hoops, talk some life. Always great to have my man Rio in the house. What's up, my man?
Good to see you guys. Got the black sheep bumping. I like that, Pac-Man.
That's our,
I like that.
Theme song,
Dreads,
brother.
Baby. Dreads.
That's
I like
right.
That.
That's our theme song. We did Way Back Wednesday yesterday, like and we that. Did top songs you would bump in your car to show off your bass. Now, we had ours. Do you have yours?
I mean, LL Cool J, Round Round Time with the Booming System. You know,
yeah, I had Going Back to Cali.
Oh, yeah, Going Back to Cali. That's
had,
nice right
had
there.
Had Sir Mix-a-Lot, Posse's on Broadway.
Oh, okay, Posse's on Broadway. Let me think.
Mixed it up with a little Stetsasonic for you, all that jazz.
Oh, you got Stetsasonic?
Yeah.
Wow, you're going way back, Joe.
You
know your hip-hop,
you're
buddy.
Right.
You know your hip-hop, brother. You're going way back.
I even worked in a little Q-tip.
Oh,
vibrant thing. And by the way, Jose, feel free to always work that in, especially when Nick's a big fan of that song, too. I love that tune.
And I love my man Nas, New York State of Mind. Dent, 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 dent.
There you
when
go.
He's
All
on
you
the train.
Jose's
bumping
already
going to
be on it. I'm feeling good about that already.
Zoe, Lonzo. Hey, you wearing a Nas shirt. Zoe, whatever your name is.
I'm going Eminem. That's what I'm bumping.
Pre 2000.
And Tupac. Well, of course. Tupac.
Okay,
Shady's a beast, man.
Yeah,
Shady's a beast.
I mean, I'm really into Chance the Rapper now. He's got a lot of stuff that really
He's a
bangs.
Chicago guy, like you.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Is that what
See,
that
that's
is, Joe?
The combo platter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can read the lines. I get it. I read between the lines. I understand.
You have to. I got to represent my city.
Okay, so that's why Rio went to NYC.
Exactly. Biggie, Jay-Z.
I'd like to represent Milwaukee, but I got no shot. Unless you want to talk about you want to talk about mass murderers, I got the corner on the market. Other than that, I'm out.
Yeah, y'all got it locked up.
Dahmer and Ed Gein and that guy. What was that? The Netflix series that was.
Oh God.
Making a murder.
Yeah, Making a Murderer.
Oh,
thank you, Jose. Yeah, that guy too. That's all Wisconsin. I don't like that. Let's just be more associated with Aaron Rodgers and the Greek Freak. That would be better for me.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got a full show slated. Mario's going to sit in for at least an hour, hour and a half, so that's going to be great. Lots to talk about, including your Rockets winning 11 in a row on a hot streak. Chris Paul still undefeated. They've been challenged a little bit. They will be challenged more this weekend, but
tomorrow.
Really want to get Mario some Q&A and get his opinions on what's going on with this team and how far they can go. Because the one thing that I've said all along with this team is, look, enjoy the regular season. James Harden, leading candidate for MVP. Team's playing really well now. But you can't erase the demons of the past until you get to the postseason for James Harden and albeit for Chris Paul. So those are things that we can talk about. Spurs are getting Kawhi Leonard back. Played the other night. They lost with him.
But you know that Popovich will be ready, as you played for Pop, for Friday night for the Spurs in Toyota Center. That should be a big one. And, of course, with the common logic of the Rockets, it's a blackout night when you're playing a team that wears black. I don't care what color your uniforms are. The Spurs colors are black, silver, and white. And you're having a blackout night when the Spurs are in town.
You're like hiding the fans, right?
It's like the Raiders coming into town.
No, if the seats were black, you could try and hide the fans. But basically, again, last night, half the building was a no-show.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Very good team. Like you said, Joe, the best team in the NBA. And you got a guy who's a one-in-lifetime talent in James. I mean, you don't get to see a guy like that who scores so easily. The game is slowed down for him right now. I mean, the game is just really easy. I mean, he's scoring and dishing, and he's really having a lot of fun. That team looks like it's having a lot of fun out there.
I think that's the biggest thing that I take away from this team in the early going. And Rio, I said this, Joe, I said it on a national show about a week ago, and I truly believe this. We were talking about the difference between Oklahoma City and the Rockets. And the first thing that I said when they said, why are the Rockets meshing so well? I said, because honestly, after the first game of the season, Chris Paul spent 14 games sitting next to the coaching staff observing and being able to say, this is where I could do this.
Yeah.
This is where I can be on the court to help them facilitate that. He didn't try and force the action from the get-go. He had time to view it from afar, but from a really good vantage point. Talk about it with the coaches. Talk about it with his players. And then when he came in, didn't miss a beat. So, I think that injury was a blessing in disguise for this team.
Yeah, and he has to realize James is the best player on the team. And good players, great players figured out. And these guys seem to figure it out. What I like about this Rocket team, you got three guys who can break down the defense, who could create offense for themselves and for others. And that's Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, and James Harden. And when you got three guys like that and with the shooting the Rockets have, and Capella is just ching-chinging right now because he's shooting 8-for-9, 9-for-11. If I was him, I'd just have my hands ready at all times around the goal because these three guys are getting to the cup, you know, because these guys are phenomenal of doing that. And I think that's why the Rockets are successful and creating great opportunities for other guys. So
yeah, I mean, to me, it feels like the big difference between OKC and Houston is it just seems like these guys are better teammates. Like they get along.
Like being around each other. You can see it. You can see the difference. And OKC, to me, just you put three ISO guys together on one team and you expect that to work. I'm trying to figure out what are they running on offense. I really don't see a fluidity in that team. As deep with the Rockets, you know, they're coming down open pick and roll, whether it's James, whether it's Chris Paul. You know what they're running. You sort of know what they're running. But with OKC, Russell Westbrook come down, pull up for a 20-foot jumper, a three from way out with 20 seconds left on the clock. Melo, they swing the ball to him. Not another pass shot. Paul George, same thing.
You and I talked about this the other day, and I've been preaching this from the get-go, and you just echoed my sentiments that I've said on this show time and time again. You got three of the top four individual scorers in the league a year ago. None of them have sacrificed anything.
Exactly.
For all the people picking on Westbrook, the one thing I have witnessed in watching games is he defers to let Melo bring it up the court. Paul George brings it up the court. He's trying to defer, but it takes all three, and he's not getting that right
now. Great point, Joe. And I'm thinking it's time for Melo. To me, I love Melo. I'm a big fan of Carmelo Anthony. But he's looking old out there all of a sudden and not playing well. He hasn't scored 20 points in maybe 10 or 12 games. I think it's time for him to come off the bench. I think with a team like OKC, you need two superstars, I think, is enough for that ball club because Russell can do so much on the floor. And it'd be great to go to Melo with a second unit, just post Melo up. I would like to see Melo on the box a little more. To me, he's just shooting jump shots, and when it's not dropping, he's not getting to the line either.
Yeah, I mean, is this a Billy Donovan thing, though? Like, he had the success in college with Florida, but he's still a new NBA coach. He's got all these superstars around him now. Does he not know how to coach these guys the right way and put them in the right spots versus what we're seeing in Houston?
Well, before you respond to that, you and I talked about that, too, and the one thing that I said was, hey, look, Melo has never been less than first fiddle. Syracuse, Nuggets, Knicks. Now you're asking him to be third fiddle and or in your opinion, to move him to the bench, which I don't disagree with because he's overmatched at the four.
Yes.
Right? But from a Billy Donovan perspective, it's also an interesting thing because everybody wants to put the heat on him, But this is not college where the coach has control and the players need the coach. So how much listening they do to him, too, has also got to be factored in, you know, as a coach.
Yeah, and it's a different era, Joe, and they said it on the telecast the other day, I guess, in the OKC game. You know, Donovan went to get Melo out the game, and Melo waved him off and then didn't want to come out the game. What's that about? I mean, players got power, man, in the NBA right now. That's the problem with being a coach in the NBA. These superstars have power. I mean, you got a lot of coaches to coach in a situation like that. You guys said it. He's going to be the scapegoat. And I'm with you, Joe. The players play, man. You got three top caliber guys. They got to make it work, and guys got to sacrifice. If Dwayne Wade can do it, Melo should be able to do it. That was a big move for Dwayne Wade. And look where it took that ball club, his unselfishness. Tyronn Lue handled that situation perfect. We know he's a Hall of Fame player. Let him start the season. We know he wasn't going to finish the season as a starter. He's like, man, let me step back and anchor the second unit. And look how the Cavs are playing. They're a totally different team by him anchoring that second unit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We got plenty of dialogue to come for the next 3 hours. It'll be Mario's going to be here for a majority of it, or at least half of it. Joe and I are going to take it to the finish line. Jose, who's working double duty, is going to do spot checks where he's going to at least come in to show that he's breathing. So he'll be participating. If you want to join the show, there's several ways, as you know, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. I'm checking the text, much to my chagrin today because Barry's out. But you can call like Orlando. We'll take him next segment. You can also reach us on Twitter. Mario, tell everybody how to reach you.
At MarioLE1, baby. Hit me. Hit
Not
me
17,
on the Twitter.
But one. At MarioLE1. Joe?
At Joe George Radio.
Jose, for the very few times, unless you're in a producer war on Twitter, tell people how to reach you at ParJ94, right?
Yeah, ParJ94.
I'm with you. All right, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K, as Mario knows, it's engraved in his heart.
Yes.
We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Don't listen to that guy. It's Jose, it's Joe, it's Joel, and it's Mario Ellie as we roll on here on The Usual Suspects. Kaiser Sose's in the hallway. If we need him, we'll get him. If not, we're going to continue to roll on. Joe, you may be too young for that.
Probably.
But, yeah.
Great Five movie. Dog. Go watch. The Usual Suspects.
Great movie.
Phenomenal movie. Kaiser Sose, a character in the movie.
I've seen it.
Okay, well, you don't
it's
remember
it. It's
been
a while. It's not a favorite,
I referenced
though,
it. You couldn't go with me on that. There was no cohesion. I don't know if I'll keep you for 3 hours.
I'll tell you, continues. These millennials.
Thank you, Jose.
Jose, you weren't even alive when The Usual Suspects.
Have you seen it, Jose?
No, I haven't.
See, that hurts. Now, you both have
homework. Yeah, golly. Yeah, over
two. Great movie. This is before Kevin Spacey went off the deep end.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Who knows?
After American Beauty, he was officially gone. But
yes.
Before that, I don't know. I can't speak on that.
Yeah. Oh, wait,
thankfully,
actually,
I can't speak on it anyway.
How great is this? Co-star Kevin Spacey's behavior led to temporary shutdown on 1995's The Usual Suspects. That broke on the 6th of December.
Guess what? He might have been crazy back then. Or already
Maybe.
Off the deep end. But, you know, if he was off the deep end, he was at least grabbing for the row. If not the boat, he was grabbing for the oars.
You're right.
All right, before we got to that first segment, Orlando chimed in. He wants to talk about the Rockets. What's up, man?
How you doing, guys? Mario Ellie, it's a pleasure for you to be on the show. I just wanted to say, I think you can erase the demons of the past. I think these guys actually have learned from the past, and you see a lot of guys like Anderson and Gordon and Capella, they stop trying to play their game, and they actually learn that they need to play around Harden's game. And I think Chris Paul as well, and he's using some of his veteran know-how to kind of get us out of, you know, hairy situations. So I think we have learned from the past, and I think there's a different team, and I'm looking forward to it. I think these guys, there's something special going on about these guys. They're not having the same issues they were having in the past.
Appreciate the call, Orlando. Look, here's my take first and foremost, because I want to get your take. Everybody focused on the move of getting Chris Paul to Houston. Okay, that was what everybody was talking about from ESPN, all across the board, every NBA expert. The bigger moves to me were Luke Mbah-Mute, P.J. Tucker, because you just took one of the worst defensive teams in basketball, especially in transition, and you just improved them hand over fist. You've played with a ton of guys in your career. You were that guy. Everybody focused on Dream and Clyde. They didn't pay enough attention to the guys that are going to help you win games, get those buckets when you need it, get those stops when you were the junkyard dog. Not that you couldn't still do it, but I'm just saying, back in the day. That's the bigger thing to me, is the guys they've added around the superstars, which make them a better team.
It's the role players. If you want to go far, as you see in NBA history, there's always a guy. You know, and like you mentioned, John, every championship team, you know, Spurs, it was a Bruce Bowen. Rockets, it was, you know, I put myself in that category. The Bulls, you have Harper, you have Steve Kerr.
Don't forget your man Chucky Brown.
And Chucky Brown did a great job. Carl Herrera, as a matter of fact, today is the Amigo's birthday. Happy birthday,
my
brother.
Happy birthday, Amigo.
And guys like that are very important, and I was real excited, and I'm with you, Joe. These two guys are selfless guys. He's going to do whatever it takes for the team to win. They don't need shots. They go give you extra possession. They go guard the hardest guy, and they go compete at a high level every night. Love Tucker's attitude. Reminds me of myself. He's just always frowning out there,
angry.
Just playing when angry.
Yep.
And that's how it's got to be. You know, this team is capable of winning the championship. And when you add pieces like that, if they can stay healthy, if Chris Paul can stay healthy, it's going to be interesting what they do in the playoffs, Joe. But me and you are on the same page. I got to see what happens in the playoffs, who they match up with, who's playing well at the time. There's so much time left, you know, before we can really judge. But they're doing an outstanding job right now. But ask me in April, May, I'll give you a better answer.
You think it's fair for Rockets fans to still just have that fear of when they got knocked out by the Spurs, James Harden disappearing, no Kawhi Leonard? They just get smoked by San Antonio.
That's their last memory, you know. So unless we can erase that memory, which I feel they can, we won't know. They've been doing this the last 3 years, winning a lot of games in the regular season, doing an outstanding job, not taking nothing away from them. But now it's time. We need a deep playoff run, you know, and they have an opportunity to make a deep playoff run. So it's going to be interesting who's healthy at that time, what's the playoff matchup. So I think it's going to be a lot more competitive in the West this year than it was last year.
And here's the thing, Joe. I know that you spend a lot of time with smaller guys with bigger reputations listening to other stations from time to time, but I've said this over and over again, and Rio and I have had this conversation over the phone. My big thing, and I'm not going to get salty for the listeners, I know how much they love it, but I will give you some passion here. My big thing is James Harden can be MVP of the regular season. He can keep doing everything he's doing right now and more power to him, but he can't erase any demons until he gets back to the postseason. And for all the Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans out there, Jose, I'll leave you out of this, but for all the red rowdies and all the people that think that the Rockets can do no wrong, I'm not saying anything about what he's doing right now because it's great. MVP in my mind. But when it comes to the playoffs, don't tell me he hasn't disappeared.
And I don't think you're wrong in that assessment, because what has he shown you otherwise?
I'm going to remind the fans that think, well, you know, he did have big games. He absolutely disappeared in the San Antonio series. You had the best players on the Spurs out, and you were beaten by a one-legged LaMarcus Aldridge. You were not on the floor for the greatest comeback in recent history in Game 6 against the Clippers. And then you bitched about it. And then you came to your coach about it, which ended up getting him fired about it. And you, by the way, in the two games in the Western Conference Finals against Golden State when they needed you most, the first time you had the ball in your hands, down a point, chance to win it, open shot, passed it to Dwight Howard on the top of the key for a three. Didn't even get a shot off. That's not a killer instinct on a player that's going to be a leader. That's not a playoff hero. Secondly, in that same series, in an elimination game, 13 turnovers. Broke a record. Don't tell me that's playing well. Those are things I remember. Those are the things that have to be erased and a new reputation set. Can't do that till you get to the postseason.
Okay, we're talking about MVP candidates. These are my four guys.
Okay.
And this is where I'm going with this. You got Harden, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Okay. What do those guys have in common? They're all champions except for Harden.
Yep.
You know, so we know what you can do in a regular season. But we want to see it in the second season. I'm a big fan of James. He's an outstanding talent, and he's balling out this year. But I'm with Joe. It's the playoffs that now we know what you can do. You got all the accolades. You missing one thing, and that's the championship, and that's what everybody's going to look at. You an all-star, first team, all-NBA. But now, especially what the Astros did, you know, Astros has put some heat on the Rockets. Say, they want championships.
It bumped up the pressure.
Yes, you want championships. This is championship city right here. So, especially the way the start the Rockets got off. So people are expecting a lot of things.
Just real quick on that, because I want to get your perspective on this, because I've said this to other people. But Kevin McHale called him out. Kevin McHale will tell you to your face, he is one of the best offensive players in the world. But he's not a leader. He took that personally. He started calling McHale names. He started taking shots. He didn't like that. The problem that I want you to comment on is a lot of these guys don't understand that with the accolades comes the responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities, whether you like it or not, because I'm not sure Scottie Pippen was a leader all by himself either, but it's expected that when you get to a certain level, you become a leader of that squad too. And he's not a leader. I've been around this guy. He's not a rah-rah guy or a get-in-your-face guy. He's a complain when he looks bad throwing the ball away. Chris Paul's a leader. So I think that's the biggest thing that will help him in the postseason. You got a guy who also hasn't been successful postseason, but if there's one thing I know about Chris Paul, he doesn't shy away from being a leader.
Yeah, he's not going to be afraid to challenge James, get on James. I thought that was the biggest pickup for me of Chris Paul, not his talent. And you mentioned it, Joe. He's an outstanding leader. He holds people accountable. I think that's sort of what happened in the Clippers. Guys were tired of Chris Paul getting on them. But that's what leaders do. They push you to get the best out of you. And knowing him, he wants to win. You know, he wants to win a championship. So, of course, he's going to push. He's going to stay on James. And you mentioned, long as James keep doing what – I don't care. James don't have to be a leader. You got this guy, Chris Paul. Now, just do your job. We want you to – be ready in the playoffs and perform like stars perform. I don't care about leadership. We just want you to perform.
Yeah, but then they bring in a guy like Chris Paul. You're not helping the fan base. He's never got to the conference finals. So is that a Chris Paul thing, or was that a Hornets, Pelicans, and Clippers thing?
He's involved in that too. You know, he knows that's in the back of his mind also. So I think he went into this summer and said, what's my best situation to help me go deep in the postseason? And I think he made the right decision. You see what's going on with the Clippers right now. Each team are going in different directions. You know, Rockets are going up, and to me, the Clippers are going down. So,
well, we'll talk about that next. Let's talk about that, because the last guy that was brought in to be the dynamic duo with James Harden played in Toyota Center last night, had a hell of a game, but it just wasn't in the cards for those guys to mix. The guy that's here now is mixing well with his new team. Let's talk about that and why, and a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Check it out now.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tell me, man, you haven't lost since you've been on the floor this year. What's working so well, and how much fun is it to play with these guys that can just spot up and shoot from anywhere?
It's a lot of fun, man. The way we share the ball, the pace that we play at, the camaraderie that we have, it's a lot of fun.
That's Chris Paul last night after another Rockets victory, their 11th straight, as he's undefeated as a Rocket. We were talking about it before the break. It's Mario Elliott, it's Joe George, it's Jose behind the glass, and yours truly on the microphone as we continue to talk Rockets and other things. And we will get to other things, but obviously, if you're going to get in here and talk about your Rockets, there's no one better to talk about it than Mario Elliott with his expertise as both a player and an NBA coach. The big thing that I see with Chris Paul, as opposed, Dwight Howard played his ass off last night. You and I were talking about this earlier this week.
Dwight's been balling, man.
I don't know when the light went on, because he took all this tutelage from Akeem and McHale and never picked up a thing. But all of a sudden, he's putting it on the floor. He's taking guys to the rack. He doesn't need it on the low post. He's rebounding his ass off.
Yeah, he's playing good ball, man. It's good to see that. And, you know, he goes home to Atlanta, signs a big deal, and you get traded after that 1 year. I thought that sort of woke him up a little bit. Yep. So, sort of woke up his sleeping giant. So it's good to see Dwight having fun and playing well.
But you can't tell me that it also doesn't influence you when the guy upstairs watching practice every day is the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that
when
helps.
When MJ's watching, that might light a fire under your ass, too.
That helps.
Well, it just feels like he's back to Orlando Dwight, like the guy we used to know, and even when he had like the Superman cape and the dunk contest, like it just feels like Dwight Howard's reverting back to that guy that enjoys playing basketball again. Because that's the thing with Dwight. He was the guy who's always smiling when he played basketball.
Yeah.
And then he goes to L.A., Houston, Atlanta, and now it kind of feels like, well, there's no pressure to win in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Even though Michael's there, like, there's really no pressure. So it feels like he can just relax and be him again, and that's part of the reason why he's good.
You said it. He's having fun playing, you know, and a big smile is back and very agile. I mean, that left-hand hook is getting really good. He's hitting free throws now, so it's good to see that.
Well, here's my theory on that. Everybody says, well, then why couldn't he do that when he was here? Well, you bring in two guys from totally different worlds. One guy's kind of an F-up. He just wants to screw around. That's how Dwight was. Maybe it's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he was always clowning. But there were times on the court that we saw what – I think that's what frustrated fans the most. There were times that we saw what he could do. He wouldn't do it. And then he clashed with the beard, and it got to the point where there was a line in the sand until somebody had to go. The reason why I think it's working with Chris Paul is there was a friendship before – and that's how this whole deal got consummated. They knew each other before. They knew personality. They knew kind of what stirs the pot with those with each other. And that's another reason why this is working so well, because there was already a friendship before they got to business. Now with business, it seems easier because there's already that comfort zone of knowing, I know what you like, don't like, what to talk about, what not to talk about, where you want, things like that. Like if we were boys in the street, it'd be the same thing. I know there's certain girls I'm not bringing up with you, and there's other subjects that we could talk about all day. And I think that's why this is working so well as opposed to what we see in OKC and other places.
Yeah, and then, Joe, you can pencil in All-Star Weekend. You know, never know what guys are talking about. I said, hey, James, how's it down in Houston? And, you know, it might have started then also. Of course, you see the good friendship. A lot of these All-Star players all are good friends. And like you mentioned, it started from the summer. They went and played in the Drew League together, you know, once when Chris signed. And they really got to get to know each other, started working out with each other. And stuff like that, like you guys mentioned, it translates on the floor. Them guys are having fun, chest bumping. I mean, and guys on the bench, you see the guys on the bench engaged. It's good to see when you're winning like that. It's fun to be out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about friendships. Like we all know the Banana Boat Crew in Miami and like what they did. So I'm just gonna ask because everyone's talking about LeBron James. Do you think there's any chance that he joins his friend in Chris Paul?
It's funny.
In Houston?
Don't we got a season that we still got to play? Yep. It's fun. It'll be better to discuss it in the off season. I know everybody's getting excited around here. But you never know what LeBron's going to do. So we're going to see. We're going to let the season play out. And, I mean, I don't know if he's going to win or not. Boston's looking mighty good in that East. So it's just going to be tough for him this year. So it'll be interesting what happens. If he doesn't win, I see him going somewhere. It'll be good if he come to Houston. That'd be fine.
But watch me fire people up here, okay? Because here's my theory, all right? We don't need another super team that's going to be hated by the world. What they're doing right now is they're constructing it through cagey moves like Mba, Mute, and P.J. Tucker. Chris Paul wanted to come here, and they orchestrated a trade. It wasn't just joining a super team. You know, LeBron's done enough of this super team stuff. Yeah, it worked out in Miami. But at the same time, I like what they're doing because they're not – it's like why people don't – should why don't – people should respect Golden State more than they do because it wasn't like they constructed the super team. They built such a good team that KD wanted to win and he joined them, but Klay Thompson was drafted. Curry was drafted. Draymond Green was drafted. You look at these things and you say, hey, this wasn't everybody wanting to gang up on one team because they talked about it. This was some pretty good front office moves too.
Yeah, yes. They did a great job by Bob Myers, and I don't know who the guy was there before. I think it was Nelly's guy. What was his name? Who was there before? He's the one that drafted Curry. So he needs to get some of the credit before they let him go. So, but they did a great job, like you mentioned. Draymond Green, second-round pick. You didn't know he was going to turn out like this. And then you add Steve Kerr to the mix. Great coach, great demeanor, championship pedigree with two different teams. Feisty competitor. You see Steve Kerr on that sideline get feisty sometimes. So he's the right fit. He's the just all the pieces just fit perfectly together in Golden State.
But both of you, Steve Kerr and yourself, you played under Pop. That has to help. We know what Pop's reputation is, but you learn as you go, as you know. You learn from Rudy. You learn from Pop. Steve Kerr playing, going from Phil Jackson, then learning under Pop. He took Mark Jackson had the perfect opportunity to do this with this team and didn't do it. Don't tell me Steve Kerr, everybody said he walked into it and he was gift wrapped for him. No, he walked in, saw the talent that wasn't being utilized the right way, and he's the one that brought them together so that they could win.
Yeah, and he implemented style. I mean, if you watch them play, it's a pleasure to watch them play. When they pass the ball, them guys don't pass and stand like a lot of these other teams do. They pass, they respace, they cut. These guys are constantly moving. And when you're a threat like that, you can shoot and make layups and cut. That's why Golden State's so hard to guard. Then you got Draymond Green just quarterbacking it up there who has high basketball IQ. I think all those guys have high basketball IQ, and they make the game look so easy out there. It's fun to watch them play.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this, the breakdown of the rosters, and you talk about Draymond Green, is Clint Capella like the guy that can take the Rockets to the next step to compete with them? Because I feel like when you look at the rosters, like you've got Curry and Paul, Harden and probably KD as your best scorers, and then Eric Gordon and Klay Thompson. Does Clint Capella, is he good enough now to put him matched up with Draymond or whoever he's got to guard on a night-in and night-out basis, regular season or in the playoffs?
That's a good question. I think, to me, people get caught up. You got to make Draymond a shooter. Mm-hmm. I hate when they don't pressure him up there. At least pressure him to pass because he's an excellent passer. But they really have no weaknesses in that starting lineup. He's the one weak link that I don't know why guys, you know, don't either pressure him or dig in the paint and help out on the other guys, you know. And Draymond makes great decisions up there. But if I was if it was the Rockets and Golden State, I would make him beat us.
And here's what I would do. I would sit Ryan Anderson down and put P.J. Tucker in that lineup. P.J. Tucker's more of a strength-on-strength matchup for Draymond where he can match the physicality and force him outside.
Absolutely. And you got Mabute. Even though I know he's not the spacer from the three-point line, he can match up, guard him also. And that's a great point, Joe. But, yeah, you added these two guys, and they were the difference in the first game of the year against the Warriors. When they were down, they put Tucker and Mabute late in the game. They got key stops that allowed the Rockets, with their great offense, to win it. Did that go in overtime? I'm not sure. Or did it?
First game of the regular season.
No, it didn't.
It was a close game.
Yeah, the Warriors had a chance to win at the end. And,
that's right.
And
it was late. KD made it late.
Okay, yep. KD made it late, but we got the stops we needed to, and we got great offense. You know, we got great closers.
Jose's new nickname is the doorbell because he just chimes in without any notice. He just going to chime in randomly.
In there right there.
Yeah, just bing, bong. Bing, bing, Jose's in. All right, speaking of getting in, Lawrence wants to get in your question for Rio. What's up? Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question for Mr. Mario. I know, besides Jordan, I know you've been around a lot of good players and seen a lot of things. Is LeBron one of the best players you ever seen? And I also want to ask a question. Where do you think the Rockets' weaknesses are right now? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
What the Rockets' weaknesses are?
I think so. Okay. LeBron definitely is one of the greatest of all time. Absolutely. Enjoy watching that young man play. The way he approaches the game, his intellect, his preparation in the offseason to prepare for NBA season. That guy brings it every night. Rockets' weakness. I have to wait till the postseason because right now they just flowing on all cylinders. I like the three-headed monster and Splash Gordon, the Beard and Chris Paul. I mean, them just attacking the paint. Ariza and Anderson are going to be key guys. It's going to be the role players for me as we proceed into the postseason. I need to see more from Anderson in the postseason. I know what he can do from the perimeter, but he needs to do some little things, rebound. If he gets a switch on a little guy, post him up. Reza getting a little old. He's still doing his thing, but we're going to need him to have a couple double-figure games in the playoffs. So that's what I need to see.
What about when the three stop falling?
Big time. That's where I was going.
I've been saying that for the last 3 years, and that's always my big issue with the Rockets when the shots are not falling. And the answer is we just ain't shoot well tonight. It don't work like that, especially in a series. You know, you got to be able to go to something. So hopefully, maybe, I don't know, who can they post up? I like to see James on the box, maybe a little bit slowing the game down just a touch when it gets tight. Valuing the ball and then taking good threes. One thing about the Rockets during regular season, they just jacking up threes. But come playoff time, when the guy is a non-shooter, he needs to take good threes, not just random threes, because shots are valuable.
I was going to say, the playoffs. Biggest thing to me is D'Antoni's system. What's a regular season value is a postseason liability. Because when the three's not falling and you're encouraging your entire team not to take the mid-range jump shot, that can stab you right in the groin when you don't need it. I mean, you got Chris Paul, arguably one of the best mid-range scorers in the game today, and they're discouraging it. Now they're letting it happen a little bit more. Come playoff time when that three's not falling, you're going to need those mid-range jump shots.
Yes, and I think James is a good mid-range shooter. James was a shooter before he came in the league, so I'm with you, Joe. The mid-range is a big part of the game. You got to be able to knock those shots down.
We're going to get to the other caller issue, too, because I want to get your thoughts on I understand it's an analytical world we're living in these days, but take all the stats aside and tell me who's the greatest of all time, because everybody's saying LeBron's about to surpass MJ because of some of the stats. It's all about W's and reputation and that killer instinct. And I think that's why, to me, and I get hammered from the millennials on some of this stuff, Joe George. But I'm telling you right now, Michael, to me, and I'm not saying you in this particular case, I'm just saying you're a millennial. MJ is still head and shoulders to me above LeBron James.
I was going to say, MJ
you're
is my
Chicago guy,
one.
I guess.
Cat, baby, the cat. 2-3, baby. That's all day. 2-3, the cat. Not LeBron, but.
There you go.
The black cat.
Yeah, and we won't go into any more details, but that's exactly what his nickname was. We'll be back with a whole lot more with Mario Ellie right here on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's Jose behind the glass, it's Joe, Joel, and Mr. Mario Ellie. As we continue to roll on, got some text messages. Someone wants to know, Mario, that if you've ever been told, you sound very similar to Method Man.
Oh, I like that. I appreciate that.
There you go. A little love outside the sports world. I like that.
Hey.
All right, now I wanted to get this. Scottie Pippen went on First Take this morning with Stephen A. Smith and basically started to make the claim that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Stephen A. went nuts, and for once I agreed with Stephen A. simply because it isn't all about statistics.
It's not.
You played against did you play against LeBron?
Did I catch LeBron? No.
But you played against Michael when he was in his heyday.
Michael, Magic, Bird played against all of
that. And you've seen LeBron since then. Give me your own personal opinion on the two of them.
Both great players. I think both top five all time. But to me, it's Michael Jordan. I mean, winning. The numbers, are just outstanding with the physical play and the level of competition. I mean, going up to Boston Garden, dropping 63. I'm probably the greatest front line ever assembled in Parrish, McHale, and, of course, number 33.
Yep.
Constant 50s in Madison Square Garden, which is just an outstanding place. 35.5 against the Blazers, putting his hand up and just shaking his head.
Unfortunately, you and I were on the other side of that one.
I was in the Blazers a year later, Joe. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, okay. Well, you missed it. I didn't. I was in the building.
And, Utah, give me a break, man. Just the follow-through, game six. Come on, man.
Whether he was sick or hungover, it didn't matter. He came to play.
6-0 in the finals. I respect LeBron being in eight finals.
Here's my thing. It's the killer instinct. And I got reprimanded by the NBA one year doing radio during a national TV game when LeBron went to the free throw line with a chance to ice the game. And I said, in these situations, he chokes, especially from the line. He not only missed one, he missed both. And they said, but you can't say that. That's LeBron James. I didn't work for the NBA. I didn't work for the Cavaliers. I worked for the Rockets, and I knew what I'd seen. He can say he was trying to be a distributor early in his career when he kept deferring at the end of games. Michael, after he got a double team and made so many killer shots to break people's hearts, he started to find Steve Kerr and John Paxson. But let's be honest. That man never shied away from a game winner.
Never. And I mean, it's just different mentalities. I'm just thinking LeBron's more Magic to me. I mean, LeBron just likes giving, and that's his nature. And you mentioned, Joe, Kobe and Michael are just different animals. These guys are assassins. These guys, they'll shoot you 70 times. They see you dead, they go shoot you 70 more times.
Yep.
LeBron may shoot you one more time saying, I think he's dead. But those are the difference in those three guys.
They ask questions later.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. I'm from Chicago, but, and I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a millennial.
Yes.
So Kobe is my Jordan, basically. Like, he was the best player in basketball when I was growing up. So for me, I'd still take Kobe over LeBron because of the killer instincts, because it's just, there's something about LeBron at the end of the game that if Ray Allen's not there, he's got one less championship. Like, it's, I love watching LeBron James play basketball, but he's just not the guy to me. And I'll always say with Michael, it's not about the rings for me. It's not about the amount of appearances. It's about all the guys that he stopped from winning titles, that Barkley doesn't have any, that Stockton doesn't have one, that Malone doesn't have one. Ewing, like Reggie Miller, like all these guys that Michael, because of
Stockton
him.
Stockton and Malone?
Yeah, like because of Michael, none of them have rings. And it's not like that with LeBron. Everyone's got rings now, and I know a lot of them teamed up, but Michael stopped some of the best players of all time from ever winning a ring.
You and I used to talk a lot when you were coaching in the NBA after games and while you were, and I'm watching games and you're on the sidelines. It took me back to a time when you were with Sacramento. You guys had a lead on the Lakers. Lakers were down like 9 or 11 with like a minute to play. He made some of the most incredible shots, including the last one right in front of your bench from about 35 feet out. And we were talking about it after the game. He just had that gene. The question I have for you is, why isn't he in that discussion as much as LeBron for that Michael Jordan kind of killer instinct and one of the greatest of all time? He's got five rings. He has all the hardware, and he had that instinct.
Yeah, that's some guys are just made like that, you know. And
but why is he forgotten about now? Has he not been gone long enough? Because I'm sorry, five rings, all the individual accolades, and he would drill you right between the eyes five times if he had to in a minute.
Well, you talking about Kobe and
Kobe. Yeah, why isn't Kobe in that discussion?
I mean, Kobe is in discussion as
well.
Man,
I'll tell you what we talked about on this show before, and I'm telling you right now, people will go right to the LeBron card, and then they'll start talking about their top five, and they forget Kobe Bryant.
You better put him in the conversation. He definitely earns a right at the day. He earns a seat at the dinner table for sure. I mean, LeBron is... He's a hell of a talent, you know, and the stuff is he doing. But Kobe should be in the conversation. But I understand what they're talking about. LeBron's just been – this dude's been on a level, man, just dominating. I mean, going to, what, 7-8 straight finals? That's,
I think it's 8 in a row.
That's pretty
impressive.
That's what I'm saying. That's pretty impressive, man.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron. And obviously, here's the thing. They're two different players. Right,
and that's
LeBron,
where I'm at.
From a physical perspective, you're never going to find a specimen like LeBron James from the high school, from his, right out of high school, to be that strong, to jump that high, to be that fast. He is a rare athletic specimen, period. And that's why they're different players. But when you're talking about the greatest of all time, that's one individual. And to me, that never changes from 23.
Wow. Wow. But Kobe deserves a seat at the dinner table.
I would
sure.
agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you said, it's Kobe and Michael and then, like, Magic and LeBron. Like, just when you compare their games, that's where
and
the
that's
divide
why,
is.
Exactly. That's why I see.
It's really not – I don't know if it needs to be anymore with all these great players we've seen. It needs to be a top five. It's like – which it's almost like which team would you take? Would you rather take – are you on Michael and Kobe's side or are you with Magic and LeBron? Because it's like they're just these different talents and superstar generational players – but they brought such different things. And my problem is, like, even though I take Kobe and Michael over LeBron, there are so many people that they will not value Kobe. They will not value LeBron. And for the greatness that they are, they've changed the game of basketball, and you have to appreciate mm-hmm. what's in front of you.
You brought an interesting point, too. It's a different game now.
It's a different game, man. It's just a different game. I mean, pick and roll, open pick and roll. Got 7-footers out there shooting. I mean, Cousins, Mozgov, we got all these guys shooting threes now. I mean,
when you played, and even before you played, the big man was valued to be a post presence.
Yes.
Now, it's like, it's a bonus if you got one, but even the bigs that you're talking about that were, when they came into the league, low post guys, Marc Gasol, Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis has been ruined to some degree because of the fact that now he's so enamored with shooting the face up.
That's what he does.
He won't go on the post.
And he's a four. Imagine facing him and Cousins on a nightly basis. Them two guys, two of the best bigs in the league.
But they don't want to go on the post anymore.
Exactly. They don't get to the line. I mean, these guys out there shooting J's. I mean, they got 6'3", 4 guys on them. But you mentioned it, Joe. That's where the game is going. It's a jump shot shooting game. Copycat league. Everybody's trying to be like the Warriors.
Yeah, you're right.
Trying to be like the Warriors.
Andy wants to get in here, ask you a question. What's up, Andy?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. Where do you think, Mr. Mario? Where do you think Dirk Nowitzki stands in the ranks of players? I mean, we hardly ever hear about him being talked about among the all-time greats, but he's climbing the chart. He's been climbing the charts past the big names. I know you spent time on the coaching staff for the Mavericks.
Phenomenal talent. He definitely has to be talked about as one of the greatest ever. I put him at top 15. Definitely the best shooting seven-footer ever seen. Great, great person, man. Love his work ethic. 20 years in the league. 6 all-time in scoring. That's an amazing feat. And that guy mentions a great point. Nobody ever talks about how great Dirk is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in Dallas doing his thing. Was MVP as a champion. And I got to put him top 15, top 20, man. Dirk's did a lot of good things in the NBA.
Is it flattering or disrespectful to say Porzingis is Dirk? Compared Porzingis and Dirk Nowitzki?
He ain't put in that work yet, man. He ain't put in that work Dirk put in
and
yet.
And he can't shoot like Dirk yet.
No, not yet. Dirk is just, there's two guys when I was on the Mavericks staff, Joe, who was allowed to pull up jumpers on the break. That was Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Terry.
Oh, Jason Terry. 9 out of 10. I thought Jason Kidd.
No, 9 out of 10 on a mid-range pull-up fast break. It was bucket every time.
Wow, the Jet.
The Jet, yeah. The great Jet shoot that too. Thing, man.
Yeah,
Jet's, still balling.
Yeah, Jet's going to be in town. I don't think he's going to play. He's been dinged up. Jet's coming to town with the Bucks on Saturday night, coming to the Toyota Center. The Rockets got a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. It is the Spurs on Friday and the Bucks on Saturday.
Tough back-to-back for the Rockets.
The good freak test. In town. Talk about a guy that has no jump shot. He's got a 25-letter alphabet, no J in it, but he's an MVP candidate anyway.
The Greek Freak is a bad boy.
He is talented.
Eric Bledsoe, E-Blood coming through here, playing, too.
Made yes, a big sir. Difference in that team.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll and chop it up with Mario Elie. Always great to have him in studio. If you got questions like some of you guys have, just give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet. The phone number is 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN. 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.